What up, Long Beach? Welcome to the infirmary. We are recording live via tape delay from Mike Garabasio's house. So, I am JJ Fiddler, and we are both sick.
We are sick.
It's going around, though. It's not like we're the only ones in the city who are sick. I feel like every time I go to a game, somebody's saying, we're down a guy, we're down a gal, they're out sick.
Yeah, it's not going around right now. It's just sitting right here
in your
my
face.
House in both right of our faces.
Right in my nose.
This is What Up Long Beach, our weekly podcast show breaking down all the top stories and fun stuff about Long Beach sports this week. We produce this podcast for the Long Beach Post, our buddies over at lbpost.com. You can visit lbpost.com and click sports. Every week, we've got the show, a five-minute video rundown of the top plays and games going on in the city from that week. This podcast, as well as a weekly, kind of a lighthearted, column-y wrap-up of college stuff and the same thing for the high school action. So all the coverage you need at lbpost.com from your buddies at the 562.
This week on What Up Long Beach, we've got our O the Week segment coming at you. Questions, athletes, games, players, quotes, and list. We're also going to talk about the biggest stressor in Mike's life right now, the San Francisco 49ers, and then give you some recommendations, some things you should be checking out, non-sports related. Before we do that, we have to remind you, like we do every week, the 562.org and the Long Beach Post are both community-funded organizations. So get on those websites, smash those subscribe buttons, and make sure that you get the coverage you deserve.
We appreciate everyone that's been signing up. On our Patreon, $5 to $10 a month will help keep us in business. We're going to be launching another big drive next week to get more people on there. But to be honest with you, the message has been getting out there, JJ. We had a ton of people sign up in January. We're only looking for another 15 to hit our target for the month, although we obviously don't mind going over that.
And please spread the word. Even if you're already a subscriber, share all the stuff that we're posting on Facebook and Twitter. Let everybody know that the 562.org and Long Beach Post is where you're going to find that great coverage.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to Naples Rib Company today.
I hope you're honest with me all the time.
And I'm always honest when it comes to barbecue. But what I'm saying to you right now, JJ, is I can't taste anything. So Naples Rib Company would be a waste of money for me at the current moment because I may as well be eating not the best barbecue in the city because I literally just can't taste anything today. If you can, or if you're like me and you try and get through being sick by thinking about the delicious food you'll eat when you can taste food, I highly encourage you to go to Naples Rib Company. No one has supported local sports better or longer than Naples Rib Company down there on 2nd Street. Go down, get some dinner, get some takeout. Tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
Let's get right into the O the Week segment. You know what our question of the week could be? How do you get over sickness? Or like, what's your go-to sickness relief? Because yours would probably be food related, right?
Chicken matzo ball soup from Nutella Deli.
Knew it.
That's that was Char's family tradition, and I've absorbed it because it's good. You know, there's a reason. The reason chicken soup helps you when you're sick is because the salt helps your mucous membranes contract.
That's
so that swollen, gross feeling you have, you can kind of
interesting and delicious. Right, what we're looking for after the Naples Rib Company.
Exactly.
Back.
I'll never forget JJ going to a road football playoff game it was Lakewood. It was Lakewood against Edison at Fountain Valley High School, and you, me, and Tyler went, and I was so sick, but I was like, "It's a football game. I have to go." And I had a whole thermos. It was just filled with Nutella Deli, my chicken matzo ball soup. I was like scraping matzo ball out of the thermos. It was so disgusting.
Yeah, I always like the fluids. You got to get me the fluids, dude. I'll have like the big gallon bottles of lemon lime Gatorade.
Smart.
Strewn about the house. It's that and a lot of sleep, and I'm usually pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no time to get that right now, though.
No, I got 10 hours of sleep last night. I got to get somewhere near that tonight because we got to be ready to go for next week's going to be a big week.
The real question of the week, I think, stems from what you were able to do this morning and what kind of happens to us every time we see people that we know but haven't seen in a long time. I reconnected with some family over the holiday, and a lot of them asked me a lot of questions about Long Beach lore. Have you ever met Snoop Dogg?
Right.
What's the difference between the East Side and the East Side?
Uh-huh.
Things that people from Long Beach sometimes don't get right. My family really wanted to know, do you really know them? And the answer is, kind of. Run into some great Long Beach people that you have heard of, that you haven't heard of, that you will hear about in the future, from the entertainment side to the music side to the sports side to the politics side. We've met a lot of great people, and you got to meet one this morning. Vince Staples.
Yeah, a guy we're both really big fans of.
Huge fans.
He was at Milliken presenting Romeo Pelham, the football coach there, and a lifelong friend of Vince's with Super Bowl tickets. Actually, really cool. I guess the NFL is doing like a partnership program where they called certain artists or celebrities or whatever and said, hey, is there someone in your community that you think deserves a trip to the Super Bowl? So not always football related, just maybe, you know, some of the other people, someone who volunteers at a church or something. But Vince said, yeah, my friend Rome could have been coaching anywhere, but he wanted to coach in his hometown. And I thought that was great. So he wanted to go and present him. So he surprised him at practice today. It wasn't really a surprise. It was staged. I think that's pretty like obvious because it's just like, oh, there just happened to be cameras in the room. but it was great, man. Rome was fired up. He's taking his mom. He got two tickets. He told his, his mom was there. And he surprised his mom by telling
her that
he's taking
her. That's the most important surprise.
It was really sweet, Jage. It was so sweet because Robert Morales from the Press Telegram and I are standing outside. We're talking to Vince. We're talking to Rome. And so Robert asks Rome, he goes, well, who are you going to take? And so Romeo's mom was standing there taking pictures of her son being interviewed by the media.
Like you do.
Whether you're a coach or a kid, your mom's going to do that. And he goes, I'm going to take my mom. Like, she and I have been through a lot together, and she's always supported me. And it makes me really happy to be able to do something for her. And I turned and looked at her, and she was just fanning her eyes at like 800 RPM. So super sweet. But yeah, I got a chance to hang out with Vince, who we knew had enjoyed some of our highlight videos because his cousin, Joey Fats, is a friend of ours. But yeah, it was cool, man. He said Rome started introducing Vince to me, or me to Vince, and Vince was like, man, I know who that is.
You rocking the hat too?
Yeah, oh, of course. I mean, come on, JJ. You know, I'm not.
Had to.
I might not be the most like image conscious guy in the world, but but when I know I'm gonna go meet Vince Staples, I will put a hat with our logo on it for sure.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, throwback, the first time I met a Long Beach celebrity, it was Willie McGinnis. At an ESPN magazine event when the athletes took over.
You were running security.
I was running some sort. No, actually, this is what it was. My friend Maya, shout out to my friend Maya, who worked for ESPN. They needed somebody to tell the photographers.
That's right. You were the contact
who
sheet
was
guy.
Famous.
That's right.
Like, all these people are going to walk down this aisle. Please tell the photographers to take a picture if they're famous. Super easy because all of them were sport. Were they athletes or?
You didn't need to look at the contact list.
Yes, there were some celebrities, like quote unquote celebrities, like reality star celebrities that I didn't know. So yeah. I had to have a call sheet for that.
There was a lot of spray tan over there. I better check the headshot.
But when Willie walked by, I made sure to ask Willie how you feel about Melvin Richardson and the Polly Jackrabbit's chances this month, and he immediately spun around.
He was like, "Who's this?
So at that point,
it's like when we were in London talking to Russell Westbrook, and we were just like, "Hey, we know Frank Burleson." And he was like, oh, you guys know Frank?
at that point, we were working for the Long Beach Post, longbeachpostsports.com. So I had the Long Beach Post sports shirts that we had underneath my dress shirt. Yep. So I pulled it to the side like Superman to be like,
you were pulling your boob out.
I'm representing. He was like, oh, okay. So then I found him later in the night. We took a picture. And that picture was the picture on the front of our first podcast together for like 2.5 years, I think.
For sure, yes. I believe we use that picture several different places. Willie's another one of those people. It's weird that, we cover his kids now, or, you know, at Poly. So we just like, I just bump into Willie. He was at the basketball game last week, and I just like bumped into him and talked to him for a while. There have been random ones for me. I think what's cool for me is when people kind of approach us. I don't know how well you know the rapper Trey D., but I was a big like Eastsiders fan growing up, and Trey D, the general, like followed me on Twitter and like DM'd me to tell me that he like appreciated our stuff, and I was just like, "This is Trey D, bro."
How do you know me?
Yeah, right, for sure. Like, I'm just some dude covering high school football, bro. Like, I appreciate it, but, you know, you're like you're a legend, dude.
Good times. Any Long Beach celebrities out there listening, hit us up.
Yeah, hit us up. What's up? What's up?
We promise we won't do them all from Mike's comic book room.
Yeah, they won't all be at the crib, so we have a studio. We can take it to the stew.
Moving on, Athletes of the Week, obviously sponsored by Naples Rib Company. Thank you to them. We have got two Jackrabbit basketball players at the top of the list, starting with Solomon Jones, who had a big week last week in more league play.
Yeah, Big Solo has been stepping up in league. I think we all knew that, you know, Peyton Watson is the guy, has obviously been the guy, right? I mean, he's averaging 30 points a game, and he's just been a baller. But, 30 points doesn't win you a lot of basketball games. So they've needed other consistent dudes to step up. And last week it was really two guys. Solomon was definitely number one, which is why he got Athlete of the Week. He had 16.3 points per game and 10 rebounds per game in three big wins for Poly. Chris Watson, Peyton's little brother, was the other guy that stepped up and was double digits for all three games. So I think as you start to point towards the playoffs, you're starting to see a little bit more of, okay, this is what we're going to get from those Jackrabbit role players.
Speaking of Chris Watson, you never know what you're going to find and see when you go cover Long Beach sports. And Mike had one of those experiences when he went to Wilson to cover Pauly, and Wilson and the Cal, that's Cal University, was there looking at somebody that you might know.
Yeah, well, they were looking at Peyton, understandably, right?
Obviously.
But his brother had a great game. His brother had, I think, 16 points in that game. And so the Cal coaches are talking to the Watson family and went ahead and offered Chris afterwards as well. So his first offer, as his grandpa put it, they skipped over the mid-major offers with Chris. Because Peyton did the usual, right? He had the Grand Canyon, some mid-majors, oh, Virginia and Oregon are interested. So then it sort of opened up. Chris went straight to the Pac-12 as a sophomore. It was pretty amazing. And yeah, man, I don't know. Getting to see his mom hugging him and his dad's like, oh my God, two of our three kids are going to get great educations for free. You know what I mean? It was pretty special. You and I hear all the time people like, oh, these parents are chasing scholarships. And I agree that parents can do not always the best stuff in pursuit of those scholarships. But when you see it happen, you understand why they do that.
But even doing the wrong thing is usually for the right reason. Just trying to get their kid shine, opportunity they might not have had.
Yeah, so like you and me, like we don't ever take it personal when people are like, oh, why aren't you covering my kid? Or it's like, I get it, man. Everyone wants the best for their kids. I'm not a weirdo about it with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like press people.
Give it time.
Maybe. You know what I mean? But it's just so special. And then you think about one of the biggest challenges facing young people right now is student debt and everything else. So even though I still think, you know, college athletes at these premier schools should be getting a cut of the gate. You know what I mean?
Fair.
You still understand what it means to a parent. And, you know, I think about that with my kids. My son's in first grade. So I'm like, we got 12 years to save $100,000. You know what I mean? So that's not going to happen. So,
well, not if Bernie gets elected. Moving on, our second athlete of the week, Lily Bugs, also a Long Beach Poly basketball player, also balling in league play.
Lily should be sitting on a scholarship offer from Long Beach State right
now.
I don't know why they're tripping right now. We should ask Jeff about that when we go to the pyramid after we record.
Just might.
Lily Bugs, younger sister of Drew Bugs, member of the Bugs family, that just one of our favorite families. Amazing people, top to bottom in that family. She balled out last week in games without Kalea Bugs, who's been Polly's sort of most valuable piece this year. Lily had 24 points and 16 rebounds against Lakewood while shutting down Moore League Player of the Year Asia Jordan, holding her to about half of her season average. Then she dropped 20 and 10 on Wilson. She had 10 points against Milliken. Very impressive game. Carl Bugs told me, no relation, when I went out for the preview.
Yeah, which way?
No relation to Lily. Carl told me, you know, Lily missed all of last year with a torn ACL, and Carl told me, just based on the way she played for the first 3 weeks of practice this year, he said, if we'd have had her last year, we would have won a state championship without question in the division that they were in.
And I trust him.
And absolutely. Well, and then I go out the first game, she has 9 offensive rebounds. I mean, you know what I mean? She's just pure activity and hustle. She's your kind of basketball player for sure, but she's also really athletic. You've seen her twice this year go up, get a rebound, and put it back up for a score before her feet touch the ground,
right,
which is more of a guy's basketball move, obviously. Excellent things from Lily. Certainly expecting more out of her this year. Another player like that, Zoe Seabach at Wilson, the water polo goalie for the Bruins. Boy, they've just been
legacy
dominating the Moore League. She is a legacy. And she has just been crushing everyone. They beat Poly 19-2 last week. They beat Milliken 18-1 this week. So she's given up 3 goals to the second and third place teams in the league.
And not only that, speaking of legacy, she's also
pretty good, bro.
The type of goalie it's not bad.
It's pretty good.
It's the type of goalie that Wilson thrives with because they have that outlet. They've got that long outlet pass from the back that's able to.
She can take advantage of their conditioning.
Those counterattack opportunities that the best Wilson Bruins water polo teams we've ever covered have been nasty on the counterattack, and all of them have had a goalie who can
Owlet.
So it's nice that they have Zoe back there.
We got a pair of boys soccer players in Carlos Martinez. And I would just like to add, by the way, because this podcast is going to come out later in the week. This is Athlete of the Week for the previous week. Our Athletes of the Week comes out every Monday on the 562.org.
Mike doesn't want to get email flood of people saying, hey, what about my kid balling on Tuesday?
What about Christian Berry at Wilson?
Going up on a Tuesday.
Yeah. So from last week's Athletes of the Week, our last two, boys soccer players, Carlos Martinez at Cabrillo and Luke Brown at Poly, both of them sophomores. Both of them helping their teams to results that left the Jaguars and Jackrabbits tied for first place at the end of the first round of league play. Very excited to see how everything shakes out in boys soccer going forward.
Carlos Martinez scoring a Arnold Giron goal in that Cabrillo game. Just punch it over the top and let the fastest kid on the field
Giron,
go get it.
You have to say Giron S so it doesn't sound like you're saying own goal.
Giron's goal. Luke Brown also was all over the place in that Milliken game. He was the one who drew the foul that brought the red card. And then he also added an assist and a goal on two completely different plays. So that kid was all over the place. And man, boys soccer in the Moore League has been all over the place this season. And it's going to be one of our big topics this week on the show. Mike mentioned it at the top. We do a weekly 5-minute video recap of the top Long Beach sports stories. Boys soccer, definitely a top Long Beach sports story.
That's the only league title race right now in the winter with more than two teams that are sort of up for it. Very exciting so far.
Game of the week. We got to go to Long Beach State where the men's volleyball team is taking on Pepperdine, and they're carrying the banner all the way to the rafters during this game, which is pretty cool for the back-to-back national championship.
It's going to be date night for my wife and I. We had a New Year's resolution of having at least one night a week where we just go out and don't do job stuff or whatever. So, of course, I'm taking her to a volleyball match that I'm covering.
Perfect.
She's a huge men's volleyball fan. She loved following the team the last several years. She grew up going
to
matches with her dad. Yeah, for sure. She's someone who, she grew up watching women's and men's volleyball in the pyramid with her dad. So she really enjoyed that. Getting to see that banner go up, I know it would be special for her. She and I have talked a lot about her dad passed away right before the run started, so it's how cool it would have been for him to have gotten to see that. But it's going to be really special. And the reason I brought my wife up, I just remembered because I am sick, is because she's for sure going to be singing and carrying the banner like the entire night. Yes.
Perfect.
She's a huge Newsies fan. So
also, who isn't?
Right.
We move on to our players of the week. And actually, it's a player of the week. It's St. Anthony boys basketball star Jadon Jones. Congratulations to him on committing to Long Beach State. Something we've wanted to see more often from more athletes here in Long Beach, getting offered from Long Beach State and accepting it.
Something we wanted to see from Long Beach State.
Both ways. Knowing that down the road, if he does get a better offer, there is a decommit process that a lot of people have taken advantage of.
Yeah, it goes like this. Hey, I'm going to a different school now.
We've just always thought that if you're going to have a university in a city like Long Beach that's so rich in sports tradition, just offer everybody that's the best.
The Moore League players.
Just offer the best players and see what happens after that. Build a fence. It's always the first rule in recruiting.
But this is big for the men's basketball team because they had not really signed many players over the last several years. And now they get last year's...
Many local players.
They get last year's Moore League Player of the Year in Justin Renee. Now they get Jadon Jones.
Love that.
You and I have been on the record, too. I just feel like it should just be the standing policy, and the track program, as well. It should just be the standing policy. Like, if you're the Moore League Player of the Year, you're in a sport that Long Beach State has, you're going to get a scholarship offer from Long Beach State.
Boom, done.
I just believe that.
Yeah.
And it's like every team has a couple kids that don't play. So even if it's a down year for a certain sport in the Moore League, offer the kid a scholarship. You know what I mean? Like it means more to the Long Beach kid to be competing at the local school. And Jadon's also the kind of kid that they've needed. Really prideful player.
Yep.
Takes a lot of pride in playing the game the right way.
On both
way.
Ends of the floor?
Yes. So I think this is a true win-win. I was really happy for everyone involved to see that he committed.
Yeah, and it's not
they
the
offered
ones...
him after the Poly game, by the way, that Dan Munson was at. He just walked up to him after the game and offered him a scholarship. And I looked at Alan Cavanaugh and I was like, why doesn't this happen all the time?
Right?
This is great.
The Poly game he's referencing is the game at the Bosco Winter Classic in December where he put down 41? What was it? I forget how much he scored.
30 something. Was it 40?
I think he reached the 40 mark.
He went off. He went nuts.
You can watch that highlight video if you're a Long Beach State basketball fan and then cross your fingers and hope that he actually comes. We move on to the quote of the week. And actually, Mike got this from Long Beach Poly girls basketball practice last week when he was talking to Carl Bugs about how he prepares his team defensively, something that we've talked about on this show. It's second to none.
He is the defense at Long Beach Poly, regardless of the talent level, has been legendary for a couple of decades now. And that's why when his players go to college, they tend to succeed, because they've been doing basically a college scout and game plan for the entire time they've been in high school. And I decided to write about that specifically because there's not really one player who's keyed their unbelievable start this year that's had them top 20 in the country. Like, they've had six different players get all tournament. And so what I really realized was that everyone they played was scoring 20 points less than they're averaging on the season. So I thought we'd do a feature about the defense. And I've seen the way that they work. I'm familiar with that. We've written about it before. But I just thought to ask him, where did that come from? You know, I mean, is it a personality thing? What kind of inspired you to coach this way? And his answer took us back to Long Beach State.
That comes from playing baseball at Long Beach State under John Gonzalez, who believed in preparation and details, where we'd have a 3-hour practice, we'd come out, and we have to run around that old field that we had to put up by hand. Okay, we had to run around the field twice, and then we had to check the board for the entire practice, and every 15, 20 minutes, there was something else going on. So you had to know where you was at between 1 to 120, 120 to 140, 140 to 2 o'clock. And unless it was a water break, you cannot go back and check. So the pay attention to details, I picked that up in college playing baseball. We wasn't very successful, but we spent a year building a damn field where my hands got calluses on it and stuff like that. But the detail aspect has always stood with me. So keeping, like, everybody being active, everybody being occupied when it comes to PE, you know, PE stuff. We have our starting group, they're the scout team. Okay, so everybody's in that plays a major role. So even though you're on a scout team, I give you a responsibility to do it. Now, sometimes it may be hard because they're not quite as skilled. But we've had kids in the past, I give them the responsibility of Jordan Canada. I give them the responsibility of Kalu Salvison, and they're launching. And all of a sudden, they start hitting. They start getting more confidence and stuff like that because they're doing something. They have the freedom to do it. I'm like, you have the freedom to do this anyway. Right. But you put pressure on yourself not to do it. You know what I'm saying?
No surprise to hear that story from Coach. A lot of people don't know that he played baseball at Long Beach State, but it's something he talks about quite a bit. It's having a pretty big impact and influence on him.
That dirtbag attitude, man.
And pre-dirtbag, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the pre-Dave Snow Long Beach State baseball team that he made just a slight reference to it, but literally when he got to campus with Coach Gonsalves, the first thing they did was build the practice field by hand. So pretty good.
Pretty amazing stuff. He is one of the best when it comes to in-game adjustments as well. I've never seen anybody stand on the side of the court and I can see the gears in their head moving, and then I can also see the adjustment that they make.
Well, something that casual sports fans don't know is that great coaches see the game in a completely different way.
Yes.
And it has almost ruined sports for me, in that if we're watching, say we're watching the Niners-Chiefs Super Bowl, right? And someone goes, oh, well, all the momentum is with the Chiefs. You know, this player wants to make up for this thing to happen. And, you know, you're just sitting there going, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about, Andy Reid knows this guy needs to block that guy. And if we do that every time, we win the game, right? Like, they're able to see what is the matchup you need to exploit.
The way Kyle Shanahan said, hey, this guy's about to hold Kittle on this 5-yard out right here.
That's
not
the
let
way
him
that
out.
The great coaches see sports, and Bugs is one of those guys. So when he goes into a game, he's going, I know we're going to take this player away, and if we can't take this player away, then we're going to lose, right? I know that we're not going to give up this kind of three-pointer that they get hot on, and if we give it up, then we're probably not going to win the game, right? It's those kinds of really narrow things, and it is that's common across all sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A baseball coach will tell you, like, yeah, if we can't hit the curveball today, we're gonna lose. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's never the, oh, what did you say at halftime? You know, whatever else. Those in-game adjustments are super important, but it starts from a really detailed knowledge of the team you're facing before you start the game, because then you've got those adjustments in your head already. Oh, they're running this screen to get this player open. Okay, we're going to live with that, or what are we doing to take the player away?
Another great Poly coach once said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
That's a great point.
Right? We've obviously covered a lot of great coaches in the short amount of time we've been covering Long Beach sports.
Hall
in
of Famers.
Terms of how much Long Beach sports has created great coaches, bunch of Hall of Famers. Let's think of it this way. If you had a basketball team, I think you and I would both agree we would want Carl Buggs to be the coach of that basketball team. Like, we would choose him to be our basketball coach. Would you agree?
I would say that if I were starting a team that I wanted to be successful in perhaps any sport, Carl Buggs would probably be my pick.
Fair enough. So he's also your volleyball coach pick?
Well, what's funny is I made a joke with him about that because he subbed as a badminton coach for like a PE, because he teaches PE and he's like Ron Massey. He's one of those guys, like, he's coaching PE. He's not teaching it. Okay. Right. Those kids, and
they
I have
no idea what they're in
friends
for.
Who was, my wife was in his class, right? And her dad was friends with him, and he would see her jogging on the part of the field where the coaches were. He ran over there and said, "I can see, I'm going to tell your dad you're jogging right here." I told him, I said, are there any sports you couldn't coach? And he thought about it. He actually spent about 45 seconds and he said, I couldn't coach anything aquatic. He's like, I can only coach effort for swimming or something like that. He's like, but everything else I think I could probably do a pretty good job with.
I believe him.
So I'll leave him off my list just because, so we can each have three different names. But that's an obvious one to me.
Yeah.
Six Division I or Open Division State championships in girls basketball, the only coach to do that. And it's worth noting, he was hired at Poly to coach volleyball. And then Sean Ashley convinced him to coach the girls' basketball team.
Shouts to Sean Ashley.
Don Norford will be the first name that I'll bring up. Don has won more state championships than the six more league schools that aren't Poly put together as an individual coach. He won more state championships than any high school besides Poly has won. 17 state titles.
Statabasio.
Don Norford. Coached 150 individual CIF champions in track and field. We think about this year where, there's a girl at St. Anthony Asia Atkinson who won an individual CIF championship. Huge deal for the school. They'd only had four of them in their history. And then you've got a Don Norford who coached 150 of those kids. And as a human being, was really going above and beyond to make sure that everyone was taken care of and teaching the life lessons and all that stuff as well.
Just think about communication. Being able to communicate with kids from different backgrounds, different times, different generations.
Coaching kids from Bixby Knowles and kids that lived across the street from
and
Poly.
Kids listen to them today or yesterday just like they did 30 or 40 years ago.
For sure.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I think I'd have to throw Mauricio Ingracia down as if I were starting a soccer program, who I would want to be my coach. He plays the style that I like, possession-based.
I've been thinking of high school coaches.
Build from the back.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
And he's also a great recruiter.
For sure.
He's a good guy.
Built a program from almost literally
basically
nothing.
The ground up. And watching it and seeing how much he overachieved in the years where he shouldn't have and how he's been able to keep the ship afloat in the down years when they should have been better. Like, he's always just done the right thing the next time he's had a chance to do it, even if he messed up before. And that's what I want from my coach. Always going to the next play. And I want that to be like the way that the team plays as well.
What's really special to me about him as well is that he was successful as a high school coach. He was successful
and
as a junior college coach.
Yeah, national championships at LBCC.
So he's succeeded at every different level. I've been thinking of high school coaches. I would have put Alan Knipe on mine.
That's good.
But I'll go with Raul Lara. I think an amazing human being and coach. You and I have got to cover very closely. 5 Division I CIF championships, I believe number 2 all-time in CIF history in that regard. Couldn't be a better human being in terms of character. I think didn't get the reputation he deserved while he was coaching because everyone would just go, look at how much talent Poly has. Which in the era of Bosco and modern day is hilarious because none of his teams ever had the talent that last year's Bosco and modern day team had.
Watching the organized chaos of a Raul Lara football practice was really eye-opening for me. The first time I went out there in 2007, I think, is the first time I actually went to a practice. And it was like, I don't think that they'll win a game.
Right.
They look absolutely disheveled.
And then they
here.
Won the Division I CIF championship.
And they won it all.
Including a 2-0 semifinal.
They won it all. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was something I agree with. I've told him this. Like, when I was a kid growing up in Long Beach during all of the, Raul Lara can't coach stuff. And I was a 17-year-old. I totally bought into it. You know what I mean? And so then I get out there and I agree with you. I mean, the practices aren't run like college practices. It's very different. But what you understand over the decade plus that I got to cover him is, you're running the right practice for Poly. And
exactly.
When you go to Warren, it was a different practice, right?
Exactly.
And he was running the right practice to get the best out of his players. And I've, I'll tell one quick story. I think we always talk about the 2012 year. They go from 1-3 to winning that Division I chip. But the 2009 season to me was perhaps the best coaching job I saw him do. Because that Poly team lost to Lakewood.
Yep.
They lost to Millikan.
Yep.
It was supposed to be the worst year ever. They're coming off two back-to-back Division I titles. But they ended up losing on a bad pass interference call in the quarterfinals to Servite, which won the Division I CIF championship. So from... They were a bad team in league when we saw him.
Oh, yeah.
He had them right on the cusp.
Compared. They weren't bad team. They were bad.
But they were pretty rough. Were pretty rough. And he got that same team almost to the point of winning a CIF championship. Really, really just all teams always improving and always in the right way.
I would go kind of, not the opposite way, but kind of the counterpoint to that time in space and us starting working here. The first football coach that I saw where I was like, that's the kind of football coach I would want to work for. If I were a football coach, that's the kind of football coach I would want to be. I would want my kid to play for. And that was Thad McNeil at Lakewood. He came in and he did run that college-style practice. And one of the first times you and I met Thad, we were going to Lakewood, and they were in the middle of moving from like the film room to the field or something like that. And he was running across campus, and we put our hand up and we said, "Hey, coach, how you doing?" And he didn't stop running, but he did turn his head long enough to yell, "Just out here trying to win a championship."
It's your favorite.
It's one of my all-time favorites because, yeah, that's what you should always be thinking. I'm just out here trying to win a championship. And the urgency that he put around that program was the reason it was so successful so quickly when he came and took it over. They got to two semifinals in the best division in the nation. Quote me, at me.
Yeah.
He was also able to knock off Poly, which was obviously a huge deal.
The only time anyone had done that since 91.
And the biggest deal for Lakewood football, let alone the biggest deal for Thad McNeil.
Yeah.
And I don't think we saw him at his best. He made a decision to leave and go to Carlsbad, which, good on you.
Got laid off.
Congratulations.
Got laid off
But he landed at home, and he's comfortable now. I just don't think that we saw the best of his program at Lakewood. And you and I have talked on this show, and we've always joked about writing the story about how Thad McNeil at Lakewood, the shift there is the shift in
depressed.
Southern California. Yeah. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So when I think about football coaches that I would want around a football program that I love, definitely Raul Lara and Thad McNeil would be on it. I think I would choose Thad because just out here trying to win a championship, dude. It's one of my all-time favorite quotes.
I mean, you can't go wrong with that. This is really hard for me to pick a third one, JJ. I'm trying to think, like, we've covered
You
so
mentioned
many...
off the air Sharif Matoyer, and that's one of the ones that I forgot about that I think you're absolutely right. Sharif Matoyer is a great, great basketball coach.
Yeah, well, and he had...
And speaking of not seeing him at his best, he could still be there right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, and think about assistant coaches we've covered. I just did the award write-up for the Century Club of Keith Anderson, who's a guy that, like, even very diehard Long Beach sports fans probably don't know, but he's an assistant coach through the whole Poly football run of the 90s and 2000s and up to 2012. Assistant coach of the track team since literally the year Don Norford took over, and is still there. And an assistant coach for girls basketball the entire time Carl Buggs has been there. So he's won 40 CIF championships and 26 state championships as an assistant coach. And is just a paramedic for the county of Los Angeles, who just like loves volunteering with like Poly kids. You know what I mean? I'll go with Spud. I'm gonna go with Spud. How about that?
Spud O'Neill,
800 baseball wins. I think he's like number 4 all time in the state of California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with
Spud. I like that.
I like that too. That's a good one. Who'd we forget? Get at us. Shoot Rod us Pekovich. An email. Reply.
Peck would probably be the best coach I didn't mention.
That's a good one, too. Pat Noyes? I mean, these guys have won a lot.
Yeah.
All these guys have won a lot. So
the thing to me about Long Beach is the coaches, we have so many good coaches, you got to win chips. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's true.
To me, you've got to separate yourself because there's so many people that
you know
are
who,
great
you know who,
that
you know who I'm
going to
put on
time.
My list? You know who's my number 4 pick?
Okay, who?
And he doesn't have what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Kirk Diego.
Oh, that's
Kirk
good.
Diego's a great football coach.
Yeah.
At us, dude. Let us know who we forgot.
A lot of great football coaches.
we can talk forever.
But the best football coaches win the championships.
All right, we'll do this quick. I know Mike would just absolutely have a conniption if we talked about it for too long. San Francisco 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. Congratulations to you and yours, Mr. Cotabasio.
Thanks,
buddy. They're going to be taking on the Chiefs. You guys are underdogs by 1.5. I assume you're obviously putting your mortgage on that 1.5. Getting behind your boys? What's the deal?
You know, Kansas City's a great football team.
At this point,
it's gonna be really tough to stop him.
Somebody like
I'm gonna go ahead.
Bill Simmons would jinx them, like reverse jinx, right? He'd be like, I don't know, if we're gonna be okay.
Yeah,
know if we're gonna be okay.
What were my picks the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, fair enough, and they worked.
Here's what I'll say. I'm surprised that everyone. I understand football fans have the memories of goldfish or whatever. I'm surprised that everyone's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo like he's like Trent Dilfer or something. Like he threw for 4,000 yards this year on 70% completion. Like we had a dominant run game in the NFC Championship that if they also average 8.5 yards per carry in the Super Bowl would be just fine with me. But I like our defense a lot better than I like their defense. I don't think there's any doubt that their offense versus our defense, I believe, is number one offense versus number one defense.
Yep.
But then they've got like the number 29 defense and we don't have, you know what I mean? Our offense is not number 29. So I'm excited for the game. I will not say that next week. Next week, I'll just be a nervous wreck. We were going to have people over for the Super Bowl, and I literally canceled our Super Bowl party because I just can't like have people around. Dude, you know what's funny? Let me throw this out there because you're the same kind of sports fan as me. You don't get any enjoyment out of being a sports fan, right? It's like pure anxiety.
It's a type of torture I love, yes.
We have a friend of ours who's our neighbor who texted me right like 10 minutes before the game and was just like, hey, you guys home? Like I was going to come by.
Nope.
And I just texted him and I was like, he wanted to bring his son by. Wanted to bring his 4-year-old son by. And I was like, no, don't. And he was like, why not? I was just like, how do you watch championship games that your team is in? You don't want your 4-year-old son around me. Oh my God.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, I barely want my kids around me.
So I bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl a while ago. It was a $5 bet to win $150. I asked you a couple days ago, should I hedge the bet?
Hedge
it. If those people out there don't know what hedging means, it would mean that since I bet $5 to win $150, I would then bet like $10 or $50, between $10 and $50 on the Niners, just to make sure that I won money at some point in the Super Bowl.
And but you're the person, and you're the personality type that wouldn't do that. And I'm the personality type that would immediately do it and tell Shar, I'm getting us a free $75 dinner on Saturday.
If I had bet $1,000 on the Chiefs,
you're right,
and this was a payout of a little bit more than $150.
Oh, so your situation is that financially $100 is no longer that big of a deal. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Congrats.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. Congrats. $75 isn't going to be the difference between me eating or not eating. That being said, I could reinvest that $75 into the heads tails bet for the opening kick.
Oh, that's true.
Or maybe over under on the time, how long it takes the anthem. The
easiest way to start.
You can find information on that. There's inside information on that.
The easiest way to start your Super Bowl Sunday off well, bet tails and the over on the anthem, and you're starting out with some money in your pocket that you can then blow on whatever other bad bets you made.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is almost in the books. And before we close it, we've got our recommendations, non-sports wise. I'll get mine in right quick. It's Rewatchables. I've said it before on this show.
You love that.
It's the best darn podcast this side of What Up Long Beach. It's Bill Simmons, baby. It's with the Ringer Network. And basically, they just run down all the coolest information about your favorite movies. I am in the heart of The Godfather 2 Rewatchables right now. And it's phenomenal.
So is it like Mystery Science Theater 3000? Do you like put it on while the movie's on?
No. And then No. No, this is like a
looking back on
It's like a looking back on what aged well, what didn't age well.
Okay.
Who was the best in the movie?
So
like
you
little
watch the
like half ass internet research.
You watch the movie before you listen to it?
No, that's unimportant. I listened to Happy Gilmore. I haven't seen Happy Gilmore in like 3 years.
Okay.
But then when you've seen a movie a couple times, they start talking about it and you're like, yeah, I know that scene. Yeah, I would definitely say that's the core of the movie. Yeah, that's the most rewatchable scene. Like, stuff like that. Like, I totally forgot that the last scene... Actually, let's do this. Pop quiz. What's the last scene in Godfather 2?
The last scene in Godfather 2? Isn't it Vito dying in the tomato plants?
It's not. The last scene in Godfather 2 is them at dinner when Michael tells everybody that he's going to go to the army.
Oh, that's right. And then it was like this nice, happy, sort of frenetic moment. And you were like...
It's not happy because you realize that's the beginning of the end for all of them. Because then Carlo comes in and he gets introduced to the family. And he was obviously a bad scene.
No, but I liked the... But there's a happiness in that they were all there.
Except
you know what I mean?
For the Godfather. Brando didn't show up on shooting day.
Oh, really?
He was supposed to be in that scene and they had to scramble.
I always liked that because I always felt like the point of it, since, right, like the deeper stuff on The Godfather is just like a family drama where it's like, oh, they just happen to be like a crime empire. I always felt like the point of that scene was, look what they could have had if they weren't doing all this other stuff. If Sonny was just like this guy at dinner for his whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I realized, though, is that scene is the scene that happens before the beginning of Godfather 1.
Yeah.
So next time I watch him, I'm going to watch 2 first.
You're just going to never stop watching. And then go right into 1.
Yeah. Time's a flat circle, baby. What do you got for the recommendation this week, Mike?
This is significantly more boring than yours. I am rereading for the 3rd or 4th time a book by Beth Kobliner, K-O-B-L-I-N-E-R, about personal finance in your 20s and 30s.
Fascinating stuff.
You know what? When I think I read it the first time about 10 years ago, which was not long after you and I had started being sports writers, and I'd sort of realized I think I have a window here to do something I like creatively but not starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I wasn't going to be making good money doing it.
Right.
So I read the books that one of my goals in life is sort of be better than my parents with money. If you're one of those people who thinks there should be like a home finance class in public schools, which is like a big movement and stuff, I don't know. I mean,
it's obvious, dude. Why are we not teaching kids finance? It's ridiculous.
Because you don't be. I had an economics class in high school. I didn't pay any attention to it because I was 15.
Economics and finance is different. Economics teaches you how the stock market created.
Finance teaches
you how to balance your checkbook.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have paid any attention to that either, though.
Would have. It would have come in handy.
Well, if you're like JJ and you always would have paid attention, I recommend this book. I believe it's called How to Get a Financial Life, but it's basically like, could you read 10 pages of simple prose that's interesting and then have a basic understanding of the stock market? I didn't know anything about any of that stuff. The book was a great introduction. I reread it every couple years just kind of to like brush up on stuff. But I hear that from kids in our community all the time. They don't feel like they know enough about that stuff. That's a really easy, like 250-page book that won't treat you like you're an idiot, but also won't be so complicated that you can't follow it. And I definitely recommend it.
All right. I'm going to go neti pot. We're going to get back to covering Long Beach sports. We will see you in the stands this weekend. For everybody that helps us get these podcasts up and all the other coverage, thank you. Take care, Long Beach.